Chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 and verse 11. And of course, this is familiar scripture. It probably won't be anything new tonight, but it's been a burden of my heart. And I just been pondering on this for the last few weeks, actually. And when the preacher asked me, he said, "Just want to let you know, I think I'm going to have you preaching. I hope you're ready." I knew exactly what God wanted tonight. And I think He's laid things out just right. If you'll stand with us and we read tonight, or even reverence of God's Word, Luke chapter 15. And I'm going to read, tell you what, I'm going to read verse 20, and not take up more time to read the scripture. Verse 20, "And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet at a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet." You may be seated. Burden tonight, I guess my thought on this is, and of course I have dealt with young people as long as some of you is old. So, I don't know, Kim, how old are you now? 24. Probably not quite that long, but close for a while. And I guess the burden on my heart today is really, young people, I wish you'd pay attention to the scripture, because it talks about you guys a lot in the scripture. You say, "Brother Nathan, how do you know?" Well, because I've seen it over and over again. You all raised in some good homes. You got good parents. The scripture in verse 20, it says, "And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, the father saw him." You know what that dad's been doing? I mean, you all know about the prodigal son. Do I need to give you a background? I'll give you a little background. That'd be all right, a little background. He had everything that he could have, and went to his dad and said, "I want my portion of my inheritance. I want everything that's due to me, and I want to take that. And I want to go live the way I want to live." Yeah. And he took it, and he did. Can I just say something? A lot of young people don't know how to handle money.
That's right.
Taylor has earned money in the last, I'm picking on you, little babe, the last couple days, doing some tasks for me. Do you know what she wanted to do with that money as soon as we went to a place? She wanted to spend it. She's no different than the rest of you. There's only the rare child who wants to put it up and save it. The rare one. So he took that money, he took it, and he spent it all. And he blew it on things of this world. In a short amount of time. Can I tell you something? When your money runs out, your friends are going to leave. The best way you find your friends, Brother Dustin, is be broke when you find them. Because if you got money, when the money's gone, guess what? The friends will be gone as well. Promise you. You say, "Brother Nathan, my friends will be with me till they say they're going to be my best friend." I can probably count on these three fingers people that I even really even associate with that were my best friends when I was younger. And part of that's not fair because some of them are still family. That I would call, they were friends. They were gone. Rest of them, I don't even know where they're at. Well, I know where some of them are at. Doing 18 to 20 years in life, but that's a different story. The scripture talks about here, and he said he arose and he came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him Can I say something about what this father was doing when he saw him? He'd already been praying for the son.
Right.
It wasn't the first time that he had prayed for him. I don't know about how it was in your all's home, but when I got married and me and Paula moved to our own place, my mom and dad had been praying for me a long time before that ever happened. When I was old enough, before we even got married, when I was old enough to move out of the house and live on my own, my mom and dad were praying for me before that ever happened. In times in my life when I've got backslidden on God, my mom and dad were already praying for me. I can speak for most every parent in this building tonight. They are praying for their children. And if you're not, let them get a little bit older. When they start talking about driving and having significant others, that means a boyfriend for the girls and a girl, boyfriend for the girls and a girlfriend for the boys. Just so you, I want to make it clear, okay? That's what I meant by significant other. Praying for the children. Some of you are about to face the age. You're facing this age time in your life of where the prodigal son was. He said, Brother Nathan, that will never happen to me. I would never do nothing like what he did. Any of you adults want to raise your hand and say, I said some of the same things? Chickens. I would never do what they did. I never do that. Brother John, there are some things, even though I was saved as a young age, I'm ashamed of.
Amen. Yeah.
I mean, I would be embarrassed for half of y'all to know about them. This young man who had gotten this money and he took it and he basically blew it. Living in sin. Some of you are about to make some of the biggest decisions in your life.
That's right.
And you are about to blow it. You say, well, my parents aren't going to give me half the inheritance. Most of them don't have anything to give you anyway. They're going to give you a broken down car and a gift card. Congratulations, that goes down to gas house and gets you some gas for a little while. That's what they're going to give you. As far as monetarily. But just like this father who had prayed for his son, I guarantee you there's parents that are praying and they have prayed and they've given you a Christian heritage. See, I never thought about this, but I believe that this son was raised in a good godly home. Because why would the father be looking for him to come back? Why would the father be praying for him if it wasn't a good home? If we look in that scripture there, Dalton, you are in the right place with me, aren't you? You're sleeping me. Okay. In Luke chapter 20, verse 20, it says, but when he was yet a great way off, the father now saw him and had compassion on him. And then what he did, he ran and kissed him and fell on his neck and kissed him. We look here in the scripture and we see these things that the father had towards the son. And we see that he had a burden for him. I believe that the reason the father was looking for him because he had faith in God that God was going to bring his son back. You say, Brother Nathan, well, I'll just go out and sin and live the way I want to. And then when I'm ready to come back, you may not live long enough to come back. You say, Brother Nathan, you're just being over dramatic. Brother Philip, I've seen enough young people die in the past few weeks that I'm sick of seeing it.
Yeah.
You say, well, Brother Nathan, that wouldn't happen to me. Listen, that little girl got run over. She had no inclination of what was going to happen. Had no idea. I've seen the overdoses. Listen, I promise you, when they died from an overdose, they had no idea they were going to die from an overdose.
Right.
Their every intention was to wake up and enjoy the high and enjoy every minute of that.
Yeah.
You know how I know? Because they get mad if you hit them with Narcan and you wake them up from it. Why'd you do that? Why did you ruin my high? Well, I don't know. I didn't want you to die and go to hell. He said, Brother Nathan, that won't happen to me. I go talk. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion on him. He said, Brother Nathan, I know my mom and dad, they'll have compassion on me. You know, that's good. But can I tell you, there are some things in life that you may experience, that you may do, that's not going to allow you to come back home. You say, Brother Nathan, it's all right. I didn't get caught. I don't know if you don't realize it yet, because you've been in church so long and you don't realize that God knows everything you do. God knows everything you do. And mom and dad don't have to know about it. The cops don't have to know about it. Nobody else has to know about it. But God will not let you live in that sin.
Right. Yeah.
He said, Brother Nathan, I know people that do all the time and they do it and they enjoy it and they enjoy all the goodness of living in sin. More than likely, y'all listen. All young people listen. Anybody under the age of 70, look up here and listen. You know why they're probably enjoying that and God isn't doing anything to them? Because they probably are lost anyway. You say, Brother Nathan, you shouldn't judge. I'm not having to judge. Their life has proven it already. You say, but all they got to do is just come back. Brother Adam, just because you're sorry ain't enough. Well, Brother Nathan, I'll be sorry that I hurt my mom and dad's feelings. That's not enough. Brother Adam hit the nail on the head. I'm going to just tell you what. I'll give a PSA for Sunday school. If you don't come to Sunday school, you are missing out. And the adult Sunday school class, Brother Adam, I'm going to tell you what. Preaches some great messages for our Sunday school teacher. And I know he don't like me saying that. But I'm going to tell you what, God has used that and worked in his life. And he brings out things in the scripture. I'm going, I've read that a dozen times. How come I didn't see that? But he talked about this morning about true repentance. Being sorry wasn't enough. Listen. I was picking on JD earlier. I won't tell you exactly what I did, but I scared him. I said, I'm sorry. I really wasn't. It was funny. I hadn't laughed that hard in a long time. There was no repentance. I'm not really sorry. I don't want him to be embarrassed because of it. So I won't tell you all of it. I'm sorry that he was scared. But I'm not really, because it was funny. See, the problem is we want to play in our sin and not have true repentance of it, not really be sorry of it, and expect for everything just to be A-okay. This father had loved and prayed and had faith that he was going to come back. And when he came back, he had compassion on him. And then it says that he ran to him and fell on him and kissed him. Is that right? Is that exactly how it goes? I don't want to take it out. Fell on his neck and kissed him. He ran to him and gave him a big old hug and kissed him. You say, my mom and dad will always let me come back home. There's always a place for them. They, you know. Brother Adam, there's some places you can't come back from. There's some places you're going to be, you ain't going to get to kiss mom and dad on the neck. You say, Brother Nathan, that wouldn't happen to me. Brother Philip, I am seeing the numbers. What you said earlier, the numbers, they're just staggering. The young people that we've seen and dealt with, and how many of them give into sin. Staggering numbers. The reality is that when we look across this room of young people, and the next year, and 2 years, and 3 years, that the number of young adults in the church will dwindle so big. You say, Brother Nathan, we've got spiritual young people. You know what we got? We got a bunch of chameleons. They've learned how to do it. They've learned how to perform because they've been doing it so long, they know what to do. They know how to raise their hand. They know when to shout. They know when to cry. You say, Brother Nathan, I don't like what you're saying. Probably because I'm talking to you. You say, Brother Nathan, this is not much of a message. Like I said, my burden was for the young people. We look at this, the father had. He had faith that his son would come back. He had compassion. He was a loving father. Whole time I was thinking on this thought, I've been thinking about the God of heaven. I believe that God is sitting here rooting us on, no different than any other parent. Dalton, no different than your dad, and saying, Dalton, I want you to do what's right. I love you. You serve God. I believe that just as the Father here showed compassion, God shows compassion on us. You know why? Because we still up and walking around. Did anybody crawl out from under a cardboard box this morning before you come into church? I don't know if you don't know, but that's pretty much what we deserve. On my route here to church, there is a large homeless population. You say, Brother Nathan, we just need to give them all housing. No, that's not the problem. Most of them need God. Most of them are prodigal sons that need to get right. We just give them a place to live. All we're doing is just helping support their problem. You say, Brother Nathan, would you let your kids live homeless if they were addicted to drugs and out in sin? Brother Philip, I hope I don't ever have to. But if that's what it would take for God to get hold of them, to take them to the worst and bottom pit that they can be, to put their eyes on God, then it'd have to be. You say, Brother Nathan, that's hard. No, it's miserable. Hard's getting up every day and going to work. Miserable seeing your kids off in sin. You said, Brother Nathan, I thought you were speaking to young people. Let me tell you something a little about that daddy. He was faithful. He spent time on his knees in prayer and prayed for those children. He prayed for that prodigal son. He prayed for Mr. Goody Two Shoes that didn't take off nowhere and was mad. He said, Brother Nathan, this would never happen. I don't like to gamble because I lose, but I think I could gamble on this and I would win. Brother Philip, I'm so confident in it that I could probably bet on a few people, a few of the young people in here, and win my money back. You say, Brother Nathan, I wouldn't say that. I'm giving you a warning that if you ain't careful, you are going to be the prodigal son. You say, well, that's a good idea. He's not talking to me because I'm a daughter. Prodigal son, prodigal daughter. You say, Brother Nathan, how you know? Because the only thing that you can ever talk about, the only thing that you hope for, is you cannot wait till you get out from under mom and dad. When I was at Grace, I dealt with a young lady who was in drugs and all kinds of sin. And I said, you need to get away from where you're at. She goes, no, I need to know what to do to make it all better. It wouldn't happen. I told her, I said, you need to get away from where you're at. Go back to your mom and dad's. No, I ain't doing that. I don't want them to know. I said, you think they're idiots? They know what you're doing. I remember we had this conversation over and over and over and over again. She'd call me and say, I think I'm at rock bottom. I'll go to your mom and dad's. I'll meet you there. No, I'm not doing that. Multiple conversations. One night her daddy called me in tears. He said, we're going to pick her up. See, daddy already knew. Because daddy had been praying. He had been looking to see if God was going to answer his prayer. But John, here's where that compassion come in. At 10 o'clock at night, he got in his truck and drove to where she was and picked her up and brought her back home. And I don't know, because I wasn't there, but I'm going to guess pretty sure, Brother Ricky, that when he got there, he fell on her neck and he hugged her and he kissed her. You say, well, she did everything right from there. No. She made some more mistakes. I'm going to tell you, God has changed her life. As far as I know, she's clean. She's still living home with mom and dad, I think. You say, well, Brother Nathan, I'll make it. It'll be all right. No, it won't. She bears some scars that she can never overcome. She bears the pain of having to, the heartache of that. You say, Brother Nathan, everything was perfect for the prodigal son. Really? You think everything was fine? I was raised in church. I know what it was. We lived in, anybody here live an hour away from the church? We lived an hour away from the church. We did everything the church had going on. Everything. They were going to change the light bulbs. We were there to change the light bulbs. We would get in a truck and we would drive. I remember many trips in my dad's truck driving. And if you rode with if you know my daddy, it was like this. It might have only been a 20-minute drive, but that's how slow my dad drove. I don't know. We go to church. But yet there are instances in my life where sin crept in. And Brother John, I could very easily have been in the same situation that the prodigal was in. I had some of the right people in my life that came by at the right time and said, hey, you know that ain't right. Listen, the father loved his son, had compassion toward him. And I believe he had a faith that was stronger than anything. Because he never stopped looking for that son. Some of y'all have some prodigal children. Can I just tell you? Keep praying.
Amen.
keep praying. Some of you have some children that are on the cusp of being that, reaching that age and having that opportunity to step out on their own and make adult decisions. Can I tell you something? Just so you're aware, they're going to mess up. They're going to make bad mistakes. Because we made some of the same mistakes. But Philip, I preach what's on my heart.